Since September 11th, has America been well defended in the war on terrorism, or simply lucky? And therefore, was the Boston bombing earlier this month a tactical victory for terrorists or a lucky break for some nasty, bitter criminals? Well, former Attorney General John Ashcroft might say that law enforcement and government vigilance has kept terrorism at bay in the U.S. It was certainly his mission after the attacks of September 11th.
The president turned to me and said, in my direction anyhow, he said, never let this happen again.
But other national security experts would say we are swimming in war on terror data and vigilance after billions spent to upgrade U.S. intelligence, and it's hard to know if any of it has really changed our threat level.
You can look, if you're objective, at all of this money and all of this effort and say, what would have happened if we hadn't done that? And in almost every case, nothing would have happened.
The familiar voice there of Richard Clark, former National Coordinator for Security, Infrastructure Protection, and Counterterrorism, one of the many security experts interviewed by Frontline. Top Secret America, 9/11 to the Boston bombings. It airs tonight. The documentary features the reporting of Dana Priest, Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for The Washington Post and co-author of Top Secret America, The Rise of the New American Security State. She joins us now. Welcome, Dana.
Good to be here, John.
So let's talk a little bit about what we've bought with all of this national security, war on terror money. What does it look like? Where could I go see it? And how does it bear on preventing the incident that we all saw unfold in Boston earlier this month?
Well, you can't go any one place to see it. It's really a scramble of databases and organizations and private companies that do work for the government. We found 1,200 federal government organizations doing counterterrorism work at the top secret level and 2,000 companies that help them do that. And really what happened after 9/11 is a blank check was given. People were so worried about what was here. All these different organizations were stood up, the Department of Homeland Security, the Director of National Intelligence, the National Counterterrorism Center. And it almost became, it did become so big of a organizational chart that much was not shared with other people because the thing was just crushing on its own weight. I think that still is the case to some degree. If you look at the Boston case, we don't think that all the pieces, now they might be small pieces, but all the pieces that were available on the older brother in particular who had gone to Russia were brought together. And then you have to say, well, what would have happened if they had been brought together? Would it have mattered? Would it change the course? But we can say from what we know already that all those pieces were not brought together and they should have been.
And I guess I'm trying to find a metaphor here to describe what we have. We have an enormous amount of data, lots of data points. But someone once told me that the way we underscore its significance, it almost amounts to opening an enormous book and finding every line underlined, as though there's a lot of scrutiny of the data, but we've lost our ability to distinguish what's important and what's not. Did the Tsarnaevs fall into this kind of vigilance trap?
Could have been. Now, I think that analogy is a really good one, and it applies in particular if you have a lay reader or someone with not great a lot of experience in a particular country or a particular terrorist group looking at that book. But the National Counterterrorism Center, which sits over in McLean, Virginia, is supposed to be the place where top-level analysts who are specialists in a place like Chechnya and Russia sit. And all the information that the FBI or DHS or CIA, all the various tips that may not look like anything, they should go there. We don't know if they actually do. The CIA, when they file a report, as they did when Russia alerted them to his travel to Russia, that was pushed from the CIA into the National Counterterrorism Center and to the desk of the agents who sit and look at Chechnya and Chechen terrorism. We don't know, because I don't think there is an automatic push mechanism to have the same thing happen from the FBI to the National Counterterrorism Center. And you have to wonder, why not? Because it's so much information. That's where you get the person who really understands what the questions are to ask and what might look suspicious. Just like the bin Laden incident, you had analysts who did nothing but study bin Laden, and they knew what little clues could amount to something important. And that's what does work. What doesn't work, it still seems, is when you have a vast array of people doing different things within their different organizations, not particularly expert in given areas or people, and sometimes missing what's important and not passing along things, which again happened here with the Border Patrol agent who was apparently informed about his trip to Russia and we don't think passed it on to the Boston Joint Terrorism Task Force there.
There's also, rudimentary questions. Here's a gut-checking moment that begins with a discussion of what might have gone wrong in the investigation of underwear bomber Umar Farouk Abdulmutallab, and that may have persisted into the Tsarnaevs. Listen to these two.
Because the Nigerian guy's name was misspelled by one letter, he did not pop up. The little bits of data about him were not correlated. Those dots were not connected.
If you mistype something on Google, it says, did you mean this? Despite spending all the billions of dollars on databases, that simple spell check, did you mean this kind of software, wasn't operating.
So lawmaker Brad Miller and Richard Clark, once again, is spelling really an issue in this Tsarnaev case as far as you've been able to tell?
It really seems to be. And you have to wonder, why is it that they can't get what Google has? And one of the reasons, unfortunately, is the area of IT, information technology, is still a weakness within all these systems that have been created to store information and then somehow to filter them together. Things still don't talk to each other over at the NCTC. You have to still hop from system to system. And that is still a big problem.
And maddening to observe in the documentary tonight. Dana Priest is a Pulitzer Prize-winning investigative reporter for The Washington Post, co-author of Top Secret America, The Rise of the New American Security State. She's one of the many experts interviewed in the new Frontline documentary, Top Secret America, 9/11 to the Boston Bombings, which airs tonight on PBS stations, produced in partnership with WGBH. Dana, congratulations. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Coming up, a look at the year 1979, a pivotal year that shifted the global power structure and set the stage for the 21st century. What's the year that changed your life? Paula from Plano, Texas writes, 1991, the birth of my oldest child, a daughter. Call us at 877-8MYTAKE or visit us at thetakeaway.org.